Let's pray. Christ above, below, beside, beneath, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, in the hearts of all who love us, remind us, dear Lord, in all that we are and all that we do, wherever we are, to find you through the silence and especially in the noise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, you know, once upon a time, I could lay my head on my pillow and be asleep almost instantly, and that was so great. But I gotta ask, am I the only one these days who has trouble sleeping?
No,
let alone, yeah, I didn't think so. I spend way, way, way too much energy in my really cluttered brain some nights, twisting and turning to try and find a clear and empty space where I've got some room to sleep. And I have tried every trick I knew of that made sense anyway. Getting up, staying down. You know that square breathing? Okay, you name it. And there's only one thing that helps me sometimes, and it is not recommended. I turn on the TV, okay? Yeah, it's not my best idea, frankly, because it can be a source of anxiety rather than a panacea. But I'll find the most mindless, peaceful show I can. And it's usually, with any luck, something about Bobby Flay or cooking, you know, something like that, on a level of moment in the world. And I set the sleep timer, and with any luck on a good night, this kind of becomes my white noise and I'm out. And there are a lot of broadcasts that are not so peaceful, eh? I avoid the news, I'm gonna tell you. I'll read it in the mornings on my feed, but not the casts. I avoid the analyses, the infomercials, all the dying and killing and Dr. Phil's that fill the night air. And there's one show that's really way too stressful for me to watch because it kind of mirrors my already cluttered mind and a lot of our minds in these tangled thought. It's called Hoarders. Yeah, for anybody unfamiliar, Hoarders walks us through the pain with someone who for so many reasons is overwhelmed by stuff, to the point where they are literally trapped and at risk and becoming very unhealthy and unhappy in a mountain of clutter. And the point of the show is to help release that person, to be free, to be safe, to come and go with their loved ones, and to rest at last. You know, I think in these last couple of years especially, many of us have become like brain hoarders, kind of overwhelmed by a clutter of ideas and questions, and it's at least as damaging sometimes as tangible trash. It's been such a weird time, eh? Fear, isolation, information, no information, disinformation, correction, revision, accusation, defense, anger, fury, piling higher and higher and higher. We've been out of touch with the hands and arms and actual conversations. We can forget how much we love each other, and there we sit like the goose with the funnel, being fattened up for the foie gras, full of stuff in so many ways that have become a pale substitute for our direct contact. And it's really hard not to get bogged down, stuck, buried, and unhealthy with all this mind clutter. So I got to take a break from it a year ago. COVID seemed at that time last July to have loosened its grip a little bit, and vaccines and masking seemed to be holding the levees. And frankly, our American Airlines points were going to expire. So we flew to Hawaii. It was the trip of a lifetime. And in just a couple of days, I found myself on the top of Mauna Kea. It was a narrow and steep crisscross road to get up there. Mauna Kea, the White Mountain, is a volcano dormant for so many years, and it's 14,000 feet above sea level. It's so tall that even the operators of its several telescopes can spend only 12 hours of their day at the work, at a stretch, and then they have to go down again. At that height, even the air is too thin to stay much longer. It's empty, except for the telescopes that scan to try and figure out how God works all day, all night, even while we're asleep. And it's cold up there and it's dry. Even in July, we were greeted by a dusting of fine snow in the low places. It's barren of life and so isolated, they've got a very realistic space habitat training center just below the peak. Nothing there, I'll tell you that. Don't need to go to Mars, go to Mauna Kea. We stood and we watched as the sun began to set in an empty sky, except for the clouds that ringed below. The shadows lengthened, the sights grew fewer, and there was stillness, and then a void until the first stars began to appear. It was peace, it was rest, and then from my side, I heard a small, clear voice. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Out of the stillness, the young woman standing next to me spoke the words of today's psalm. O Lord, our Lord, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, what is man that you should be mindful? And there, in the silence, was the response, the antidote to the clutter. In the return to the singularity, yet the infinite, the realization that beyond the clutter remains the silence. In that thin, aired, empty, seemingly lifeless place, God remains solid and full and filling, the all. And in the silence is one answer to our clutter. Stopping to be in stillness, even for just a few moments, to acknowledge our peace, to acknowledge in our very smallness that we are part of the forever, we are part of the larger, and we are safe. Creatures sought after even by God. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. It's real. And it's impossible for us to fully comprehend. Now, Psalm 8 is attributed to David, who, beginning his life as a shepherd in the fields, would have known the silence and vastness and wonder of the night sky. And I would think on so many nights as shepherd, as soldier, and as king, would have looked toward that silence to wash away whatever clutter had accumulated in the day. And this is among David's many psalms. They're songs telling us of everyday life of people, joys, fears, grief, anger, and always, always resolving by acknowledging that beyond it all is the unknowable. Beyond it all, we seek God as we're able. We seek the infinite in our finitude, our finite humanity. Our lives really aren't so much different from David's. If anything, they're more chaotic, but we are just as fragile. Jesus lived in the clutter too. His was different, but again, maybe not so much. It was the brutal rule of Rome, boistered even through the temple's leaders, bettering themselves without caring about the effects on the others. Sickness, fear, anger, weariness. Jesus lived in the stew of humanity too. And sometimes Jesus walked away to find the grove or the garden or the hillside to be uncluttered, to be alone, where he was free to breathe in the breath of life itself, the Holy Spirit, to clear the clutter. Jesus, fully human and fully God, the part of that Trinity that we celebrate today, the part that lived in the mess that's us. The man we can study and we can copy when we need to know how to sift through it all, how to know what to discard and what to keep. But you know, we don't get to stay on top of the mountain. We're creatures in and of the clutter that's so often the confusion that really is each other. Yet we remember the silence of the mountains, the wait a minute time, the vastness of nothing, that is everything that is God, and that we are in God, sharing every breath in the air that is, however thin, however sweet, or however overwhelmed, completely within the life that joins us all and to and in God. Our very breath is the Holy Spirit, breath of life, breath of heaven, the part of the Trinity in which we are woven and we share our life. And now the question, how will we find the orderly, or no, will we ever find the orderly and happy and uncluttered by cares life that we seek? I have to say no, not permanently, not in our world. We're in God, we've met Jesus, yet we are becoming. And so much of our living is the learning. As Paul wrote to Romans, suffering produces an endurance, and endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. Our learning comes in the struggle to know what's good and healthy. And on the other hand, what will destroy us and one another. Our task is to get rid of the clutter that we won't be buried by it, to make room for goodness, to look up, sometimes to walk away, to stop, to be alone with God, and get a breath in the Spirit. And always, always, we look to Jesus, the man who lived in it, who was suffocated by it, yet who shows us our direction in every decision we make, every single one, who shows us the way of God's love poured into our heart through the Holy Spirit. So in this week to come, just stop, and take a look at the stuff that your mind has collected, the things that keep you up at night and the things that bombard you in the day. Sift it. Turn the pieces over and over and decide what gets to stay and what needs to be gone. Seek the Spirit of truth. And if you're not sure how, you're ready. Jesus gave us the absolute. Will living with this idea, this thought, be part of loving our God, our neighbor, and ourself? If so, oh, embrace the goodness. And if not, it's dumpster time. Let this become the guide for even the tiniest words of your life. And there's a second piece of the equation. Let's limit what's being fed into us, yeah? We can't manage it all. And we need what makes us healthy and keeps us together. Maybe skip some channels, hey? Block some feeds. It's easy to do that. Unfollow stuff that's ugly. This is not putting our heads in the sand. We've all got peripheral vision. It's living into our humanness, knowing that we're so small, but that God's self, Father, Son, and Spirit has created in each and every one of us the definition that we learned so long ago, the first Bible verse, you ready? God is love. It's thought by thought, word by word, act by act that shapes us. It's the journey, and it's the learning, and it's our work. Will those little changes in every one of us make any difference? Oh yes, they will. Today and every day. Clear the way, live in love, and let that pour in. Yeah. Amen.